So we're reading from Nectar of Instruction, verse 7, and we're hearing how the holy name is sweet like sugar candy, but because we're afflicted with a disease like jaundice, then we feel that this chanting is not sweet. But by regularly taking the medicine of the chanting of Hare Krishna, then gradually that disease will become cured and the chanting will taste sweet. Good. And as our dear friend Divyanam Prabhu pointed out, there's two words that are very important in this verse that describe how the chanting should be administered. And that's adarat, which means carefully, and also anudinam, it means every day, like kitnadin, like haros, you know, every day. Adinam, every day. Or Prabhupada mentions 24 hours daily, kirtaniya sadahari, always chanting the holy name. So we have to take Harinam very carefully, and we have to take Harinam regularly. Adunam, anudinam, every day, ideally 24 hours a day. So there's an analogy given that if you want to light a fire, then you have to use dry wood. And if you try to light a fire and are pouring water on the fire at the same time, is it going to be easy to light that fire?
No.
No. If you pour water on the fire at the same time you're trying to light it, it's going to be very difficult. So these offenses that we just read through, these five of the ten offenses, when we commit these offenses, it's like pouring water on the fire. And it'll be very difficult to ignite that fire. And ultimately, the ignition of that fire, that's going to give us ultimately Krishna Prema, which is what we're trying to produce. So this evening I'd like to just briefly go over the first of the five offenses. We can speak in a little bit of just a drop of the ocean, because it's Harinam Tattva is a great topic. But let's just try to speak on the first five. So we know how to avoid pouring the water. What's the water? How we can identify it so we can know, yes, now I'm pouring water. I shouldn't be pouring this water. Because to combat an enemy, the first step is to identify the enemy. That's why all this IT and recognizance is so important. I was reading one book the other day. It's described that the U.S. government now has come up with spy planes that are the size of a bug. They can send little drones. You see these little helicopters with the, you put your cell phones on it and they go around and you can take pictures and stuff. The government has them that are the size of cockroaches. They can, you know, zip around. You don't even know, you know, something zzz, you know, okay, we're online now, you know, with the U.S. government. We don't even know. So to identify the enemy is very, very important. So we'll speak about five enemies today, the first five offenses, how to avoid them, how to identify them, and how to avoid them. Number one is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. So Jiva Goswami mentions in this regard, not only we shouldn't blaspheme, but we also shouldn't hear blasphemy. If someone's blaspheming devotees and we sit and just patiently listen, or sometimes eagerly listen, because sometimes we like to hear criticism of others, then we're also getting contaminated. And instead of cleaning our hearts are just getting more and more dirty and contaminated. And instead of getting cured, we're getting more sick. Why? Because number one, we're getting contaminated, and we're associating with that person, and that person's tendency to criticize others, we're also building on that tendency. That person's words, harsh words against other devotees, may be coloring our consciousness. And not only that, but it takes two to tango. you know? Right? Mm-hmm. So if the devotee is blaspheming and we walk away and that devotee has no one to talk to, he may be quiet.
Right?
Right? Whereas if we stand there listening, he gets an opportunity to
speak more
and more and blaspheme more and more. So we shouldn't give him that opportunity. So better to walk away. But sometimes it's difficult to walk away, especially if we're talking with a senior devotee. You know, so there's a nice mantra I'll teach you all right now. So if a senior devotee is blaspheming or speaking any other kind of prajalpa and you want to leave, you can just say, excuse me, Prabhu, or excuse me, Mataji, I have some other service I have to do right now. Can we speak later? Okay, I'll say it again and I'll have all of us say it together, right? Excuse me, Prabhu, excuse me, Mataji, I have some other service I have to do right now. Can we speak later? Okay, everyone together. Excuse me, Prabhu, excuse me, Mataji. I have some other service to do. Can we speak later? Good, good. So keep this in mind. And, if you use this mantra, you can do it very politely, but at the same time, you can try to shut down some prajalpa and the criticism of other devotees. By the way, prajalpa means speaking mundane talks that are not conducive towards the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And this blaspheming of devotees is the worst kind of prajalpa. So we want to avoid this. So in the Harinam Chintamani, there are four categories of blasphemy that are mentioned that are quite interesting. They're similar, we were discussing a little bit earlier, we came with three categories, but in Harinam Chintamani there are four. One is to blaspheme someone because of their caste. Hey, you know, you're just Mlecha, or you're a Shudra, or you're Yavana, you know, or this or that. This is examples of blaspheming someone because of their caste. Even just the examples are scary. Huh? Mm-hmm. My God. So the second one is to blaspheme someone because of some unpremeditated accidental fall down. Mm-hmm. So some devotee just has a fall down without, you know, premeditated, without planning. And just like, you know, he's walking into a restaurant for some reason and he sees an old friend and his friend is smoking a cigarette and his friend says, wouldn't you like a cigarette? And he used to smoke cigarettes and he says, okay. So he takes one and then he smokes and then someone, hey, did you see that devotee? He was smoking a cigarette, you know. He blasphemes him because of that. So this would come in this category of aparad. So we must be very careful, you know, that we don't criticize people. Devotees who are apichatsu dharacharo, they're on the path of devotional service, they're making a sincere endeavor, but they may experience an accidental fall down. So we shouldn't criticize them, especially if they are remaining on the path and doing their best to practice bhakti.
So one question, like, even though if we saw somebody, just like you gave the example, if you see somebody smoking it, even though you don't speak it, but it's going to come to your mind saying that, oh, devotee is smoking, yeah. How we can get rid of that?
That is okay, that you can have it in your mind, because it is a relevant question.
Right, because you're going to come it automatically, right?
Right.
How come he's...
But I think you can go and discuss it with a senior devotee in the community, and you say, I have this concern, I saw this devotee doing this activity, in a mood to help that devotee.
Right.
Not in a mood just to get together your friend, hey, did you see that devotee?
Did you see that? Right.
You know, in a mood to help. If you act positive, in a mood to improve the situation...
So all questions are coming.
Yeah.
All the assignments are coming live now.
So this is the difference. If our heart is open in a compassionate way to help someone, and we act in a constructive way to help that person, by sharing with a senior devotee, can actually counsel that person, then it's not prajalpa. But if we just speak these things without any helping hand, you know, without any practical way to help, then it's just speaking for the sake of speaking, and then it's prajalpa, like that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
One question related to that. Okay. Blasphemy means you speak out, right? Not think. Is that right?
Blaspheme, I guess there could be some mental blasphemy also.
Mentally.
You can mentally, like it's said that one way you can offend a devotee is if you're angry with them.
Mm.
Or if you're not happy to see them. You know? That's also a Vaishnava aparad. If you see a devotee and you're not happy to see them, it's considered a Vaishnava aparad. So you're not saying anything, but it's an internal bhava, the internal mood. And Krishna understands our mood. He's bhava grahi janardanaha. Krishna understands our mood. Does that answer your question?
Yes,
Prabhu. Yes? Thank you. So number three is that we can blaspheme them for the last traces of their previous sins. So it's a materialistic, sinful tendency that just lingers. And it's still kind of there in their activities as they're coming to the position of becoming fully cleansed of their past impurity. But they're not fully cleansed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we criticize, you have this lingering tendency. Like some examples of this is that, you know, sometimes, you know, a devotee may slam their finger in a door and you hear very colorful language. It's not verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are a few verses like that in Chaitanya Bhagavat when the offenders start to... There's references to the K word and the B word. So use of street language, you know, that non-Vaishnav, non-devotional language. This is like a residual thing that stays with us from our past conditioning before we became devotees in this lifetime, like that. Although some of us, like Divyanam Prabhu's children, they're fortunate, they're born into this already. Already, why they would use street language, you know? So, probably never have the opportunity. Homeschooling and everything, right? So, they're fortunate. Or sometimes devotees, they're in a hurry, you know, and they may cook something and they may eat it without offering. You know, so it's because their previous tendencies, you know, where someone who's completely cleansed of all these things would not even conceive of eating something without offering it. You know, there's stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. There was one devotee in Panihati, Raghava Pandit, he sent his servants to go buy the best coconuts for the deities. Long distances, kilometers they had to travel to pay big money for the best coconuts. And they brought the coconuts back. And just as a servant was entering the door, he touched the top of the door and touched his hand to the coconut. And Raghava Pandit said, "Forget it! Throw it! It's useless!" People were walking with their feet past the door. The dust from their feet may have gone up to the roof. And you're putting the dust of feet on the coconut, how can we offer it?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't offer it, we can't eat it. You know, and these are the most expensive coconuts that they walked kilometers to get. You know, so someone with this so much dedication, purity, that, you know, I'm only going to offer something that's been offered to the Lord. You know, and that's his heart is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for many of us, you know, sometimes, I'm in a hurry, you know, come on, it's late. Okay, it's Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, you know, and then, you know, Sharanavijak, you know. And then go, you know. And someone may criticize, hey, you didn't offer that properly, or, you know, hey, like that. So this, we shouldn't blaspheme devotees also for doing this, because this is again, example of number three. It's just a residual tendency from their past materialistic upbringing like that. So number four is that we shouldn't blaspheme someone for their sinful activities prior to surrendering to Lord Krishna. Like someone did something before becoming devotee, and then we criticize them. I was in a istagosti in one temple. I won't say which city, I won't say which country. And we're all sitting around, and the discussion started to get a bit heated. And then one devotee threw an accusation at the other devotee. You're saying that because before you came to Krishna consciousness, you used to drink alcohol. Whoa, you know? And this is exactly this thing. Then that devotee stood up, and this devotee stood up, and that devotee punched this devotee. And it started like a big fight, you know? So my mother, she worked in a high school in the Bronx as the dean. And it's a tough place, you know? And as the dean, she had to break up fights. And it was mostly girls, girls' school. So once there was a fight between two girls, and she told me that the way she broke up the fight is that she grabbed both of the girls and kissed them. And they were so shocked that they stopped fighting. So I tried that with these two girls. And it worked. They stopped fighting. And I chanted, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And they looked at me, you know? And then they started again. And then I quoted some verse from one of the Shastras that, you know, a devotee is like the full moon. And if there are any faults in that devotee, it's just like spots on the moon. But the spots on the moon does not mean that less light is going to come from the moon. And then they looked at me. And then again. So then I tried my mother's technique and I grabbed them both and I was kissing them and they got completely shocked and they stopped. So that was successful. See, the mother's the first guru. So we shouldn't criticize someone for their sinful activities before they came to Krishna consciousness. That's blasphemy. So these are the four different categories of blaspheming of devotees that we should avoid. And we should avoid hearing blasphemy as well as speaking blasphemy. Okay, let's go on to number two. Number two is to consider the demigods, the names of the demigods as equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So the etiquette is that we should offer more respect to a senior personality, a superior personality. And Krishna is superior to everyone. He's a supreme personality of Godhead. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says in 10th chapter, 8th verse, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So in this nice shloka, 10.8, Krishna declares that he's the source of everything. And those that worship the demigods are considered to be less intelligent by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavatyalpamedasam devan deva yujoyanti mad bhakta yanti mam api. Alpamedasam. Alpa means less, medasam means intelligent. And then Krishna says in Gita, yanti deva vrata devan pitran yanti pitriya vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. That those who worship the devatas, they go to the planets of the devatas. Those who worship the ancestors, they go to the planets of the ancestors. Those who worship the ghosts and the spirits, they go to the planets of the ghosts and spirits. And yanti madhyajino pimam, those who worship me, come to me. So if we're chanting names of demigods, we'll go to planets of demigods. And if we worship Krishna, we'll go to Krishna. So it's an offense to think it's the same thing. It's Mayavada. It's all one. It's not all one. Krishna's a superior. He's a supreme. And all of us, including the demigods, are subordinate to Krishna. Therefore, it's an offense to consider the chanting of the names of the demigods and chanting the names of Krishna as being equal, because there's differences like that. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, good. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master and to consider him to be an ordinary person, Guru Avagya. So, Vaishnava Aparad is considered to be, Prabhupada mentions it, the worst, the most grievous offense. Of all the 10 offenses, blaspheming devotees is the worst offense. He gives different ones. Sometimes he says the 7th offense, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, is the worst. So we have a few worst, but this is definitely one of them, to blaspheme the guru. And of all Vaishnava Aparad, the Guru Aparad is the worst kind. So, that's the most grievous. So what are the main instructions that the Guru gives that we should follow those instructions and not break those instructions? He gives us the instruction to chant, follow 4 regulative principles. No fish, no meat, no eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. And he asks us to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he also asks us to assist the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prativati Achayata Nagarigram, Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Moranam, that the chanting of my holy names will be heard in every town and every village all over the world. So some role we play in this, whether we give our pran, our life's energy, whether we give our dan, our money to help, or we give our vach, our words, or we give our thoughts, in some way we help to spread this mission. And we should not consider the spiritual master as an ordinary material person. He's a representative of Krishna. Sakshad Hari Tvena Samastra Shastra Uktastata Bhavyataiva Sadhi Kintu Prabhuya Priya Eva Tasya Manve Roshi Charnarindam. So he's Sakshad Hari. He's as good as Hari. In this way, we should not consider him to be an ordinary person. He's a representative of the Lord. Just like when the queen sends her representative, her ambassador, to a country, that ambassador is given so much respect, almost like the queen. So Krishna is sending his representative, the spiritual master. So much respect should be given. So we should avoid the third offense, which is to follow the orders of the spiritual master, and also not to consider him to be an ordinary person. So then, number 4 is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So that refers to the 4 Vedas and the Puranas. And we can also consider scriptures like Bible, Quran, Torah, because they're in pursuance of the Vedic version. Any scripture that is in the direction of the Vedic version, monotheistic, is one supreme Lord, and walking is in this direction, we shouldn't blaspheme such a scripture. So we should be very respectful when discussing scriptures that are in reference to the Supreme Lord. The 5th offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be an imagination. So we cannot explain the holy name with our own material conceptions, our own material speculations, with our own tiny brains. There's that story of the frog in the well. the frog, his friend comes to visit him in his well, and he says, "Oh, my friend, I've just been to the ocean." So the frog in the well, he says, "How big is the ocean?" And his friend says, "Oh, it's very big." So the frog says, "Is it twice as big as my well?" "No, no, much bigger. Three times bigger, bigger. Four times bigger. Five times. Oh, it's so big." So like this, we cannot have any conception of the glories of the holy name of the Lord. It's just so vast. We can't use our own brains. Only through scripture can we understand. Because Abhina Abhina Tvam Nam Namino, we were hearing this shloka, that Krishna and Krishna's name are absolute, non-different, they're the same. So in this way we have to understand the absolute nature of the holy name as being Krishna himself. Sometimes people may say, "Oh, the glories of the holy name is an exaggeration." You know, this is an offense. This is to consider the holy name imagination or give some mundane explanation. And there's a story, Srila Haridas Thakur, he was in a place called Chandrapur. This is, many of you, you heard the story of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute that was in Benapole. So because he was offended there by Ramachandra Khan, he left that place and he went to this place called Chandrapur. And he was living near the home of Balaram Acharya, who was the family priest for Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. At that time they were in the Muslim service, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. Majumdar means like tax collectors. That was their service. So he was living very close to there, and one day Balaram Acharya decided to bring Srila Haridas Thakur into the assembly of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. They would bring all kinds of brahmanas together and Vaishnavas and have big scriptural discussions. It was a learned assembly. And when Haridas Thakur came into the assembly, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they rose up and they offered their dandavats to Haridas Thakur and took the dust of his feet on their head. And they gave him a seed and water, and they were very happy because all the learned people in the assembly were glorifying Srila Haridas Thakur. And they were explaining how Haridas Thakur, he chants 300,000 nams a day. That's 192 rounds a day. Teen lakh.
16 is good.
Yeah, 16 is good. Actually, I was in, I'm in, Divyanam Prabhu and I work on one project together called World Holy Name Week. Mm-hmm. And part of that is we have something called Japathon. Mm-hmm. It's like a Japa marathon. Mm. And this year, 52 congregational devotees like yourselves in Borivali, in Mumbai, they got together, they started at 1 o'clock in the morning and chanted until 11 p.m. the next day, and 52 of them chanted 192 rounds.
Constantly from 1 p.m.
But it was 52 of them. And
yeah, you get some fruit, some juice. Yeah.
One day of Haridas Thakur.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was doing that every day.
And he would do it every day.
Okay, I didn't mean to scare you. Back to the story, okay? So, everyone's glorifying him as if they had 1,000 mouths, and Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar were so happy. And one devotee was explaining how by chanting Harinam, you know, we can become free of all of our sinful activities, all of our pop. We can become free of pop. And another devotee explained, yes, and by chanting Harinam, we can attain mukti. We can get liberation. And then Haridas Thakur explained a verse explaining that when the sun early in the morning is about to rise, then you can see the glow, and when that glow comes, you know, the darkness is going away. And then our devotee said, please explain more about this verse. And then Haridas Thakur explained that actually that all of our pop is destroyed, all of our karma is destroyed by Harinam. It's true. But this is just a byproduct of chanting of the holy name. It's not the real goal of chanting. Mm. And then he said, and it's true that mukti, that liberation comes through the chanting of the holy name. But this is also only a byproduct. Mm-hmm. And he explained that when just the glow of the holy name, of the sun is coming up, all the witches and pretas, they flee away. And as the light of Harinam begins to awaken, then all the pop is destroyed in the heart. But it's just an insignificant byproduct. So there was one very, very good-looking, young, wealthy, intelligent brahmana in the assembly named Gopal Chapala. And Gopal Chapala was the head tax collector working under Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And he got upset and he said, what? How can you say that mukti is just a mere byproduct of chanting the holy name? Because the Mayavadis, they're just dry logicians. And they're trying to see everything as one. And it says in Bhagavad Gita that for one who follows this path, the impersonal path, that everything is very difficult. So he's struggling to make it. He says possible, but it can take millions of lifetimes. It takes millions of lifetimes to get mukti. And you're saying just by chanting the holy name as a byproduct, you get mukti? So then Haridas Thakur was giving an explanation. And Gopal Chapala was saying, now I see that in Kali Yuga everything is true. That someone born in a low family is quoting the Vedas. You know, so look, he did the blasphemy, mm-hmm. right? And he further went on to say, if it's true that mukti is just a that it's not true that mukti can be achieved as just a byproduct of chanting holy name, then I will cut off your nose. And then Haridas Thakur, he took up the challenge and he says, if mukti cannot be attained even as a byproduct of chanting the holy name, then I will cut off my own nose. So then there was a great uproar in the assembly because Haridas Thakur had been insulted by this person. And they asked Gopal Chapala to leave immediately, and immediately he lost his job. He got sacked, you know, by Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And they told the guards, don't let him back in. And they were apologizing profusely to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was very sweet and kind and gentle, and he was not upset at all. And he said, don't worry that he has insulted me. It's not a big issue. I wish you all success in your bhakti, in your devotional service. And he left the place. He went back to his residence. He was living in a thatched hut. So then 3 days later, Gopal Chapala's beautiful, and Chaitanya Bhagavat describes it as sesame flower-like nose, melted off. And his beautiful golden jasmine bud-like fingers and toes all melted off. And everyone was astonished. And they commented, just see the power of Haridas Thakur. If you blaspheme Haridas Thakur, just see what has happened to him. And Haridas Thakur, he left that place and he went to Shantipur to meet Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya gave him a nice kind of cave to live in. And they were discussing together that how fallen people are in the age of Kali Yuga. And Advaita Acharya began to worship Shalagram with Tulsi and Ganga Jal. And Haridas Thakur sat in his cave and began to chant, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a result of their services, advented in this world, and he spread this wonderful chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Nathiranyata. So this wonderful chanting of the Hare Nam, which is in the beginning, it's like, because we're jaundiced, we have this jaundiced condition, it's not tasting very sweet, but if we continue to chant, following in the footsteps of Srila Haridas Thakur and other great devotees, then very, very soon we can hope that the taste of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will soon taste sweet, like sugar candy. So we discuss these five offenses, and next week we'll discuss the next five.
Not next week, because we do not have class, but next session.
Okay. And actually, next session, we'll discuss six.
Yeah.
Because in addition to the 10, there's an extra one, which is to be inattentive while chanting, which is considered the root of all the other offenses. So I'm very grateful to all of you for your kind attention this evening. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to purify myself. Thank you, Devinam Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Shrila
Prabhupada ki
jai. Shrila Rupa Goswami ki
jai.
Vishamrita ki jai.
Vancha kalampati vishyam kupan sindhu devacha. Ram bhavni bhyo vishnavi bhyo namo namaha.
Thank you to Eklavya Prabhu, and thank you to all of you for your attention. So now, a couple of things. Next week, we do not have a class, but I am proposing, it's all up to you, to have a joint session of just you all, maybe over the